finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Life's better with American Family Insurance. Because we know in making the most of your home, DIY doesn't just stand for do it yourself. It also means dream it yourself. And we're here to help protect the dreams you're building. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Welcome back to another episode of Dark Florida. I'm your host, Brooke Moreland. Before we get to today's episode, be sure to give us a follow on Instagram at Dark Florida Podcast for everything that's happening behind the scenes. And if you've had your own strange encounter, creepy story to share, or would like to be a guest on the show, feel free to reach out to me at darkfloridapodcast@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. Make sure wherever you're listening to drop a 5-star review and share the show with your friend. It really helps. And if you'd like to support the show, you can do so by heading on over to buymeacoffee.com/darkflorida and subscribe to our YouTube at youtube.com/darkflorida411. Today's episode is a really special one. I had the chance to sit down with Natalie Smearman of Relic Films. She's someone who's had her own powerful and personal experiences with Bigfoot, the supernatural, and the unexplained. We talk about everything from cryptids to orbs, the Hat Man, and the kind of encounters that shift how you see the world. What really stood out to me, though, is how Natalie brings a deep sense of purpose to her work and how refreshing and inspiring it is to see another strong woman exploring these fringe spaces so fearlessly. We also talk about The Vanish, which is Relic Films' upcoming documentary that she is involved in. And let me say, this is one to watch for. So grab your flashlight and your open mind. We're going in.
Thank you so much, Brooke.
From what I understand is you got involved in Bigfoot. You went to your first conference in 2024.
Yeah, 2024 in Ocala, Florida. And that was my very first dive into really hands-on Bigfoot investigating, more of an interview process. And then I dove into the more intricate pieces later on. So I've been interested in Bigfoot and that piece of it for about 12 years. I did a lot of investigating, and it was with either interviews online, in books, and just talking amongst friends. But it was more of TV that did the documentaries, and I watched a lot, learned as much as I could, because when I grew up in West Virginia, there was a lot of talk about Bigfoot, but I never really took it seriously. It was growing up in Appalachia, it was this more of you keep your blinds shut at night. You don't go into the woods. If you hear something whistling or calling your name, no, you didn't. You stay out of the woods. So I grew up and that was very, very normal. And then I moved out of West Virginia. And when I came to Florida, I started hearing reports of Bigfoot activity, which up north, you think, is that really real? And then once I dove into it even more, I'm realizing there are reports all over the world, not necessarily quote unquote Bigfoot, but in different countries, it's called different things. And so I had to learn more about it. I'm that type of person. In project management, which I am in, you dive down deeper. You uncover every little layer until you get to the root of it, and you don't stop until you reach that. And that's the path I'm on now. And for my birthday last year, I gifted myself a VIP ticket to the Ocala conference. And I got to meet these wonderful speakers who I have watched on television for so many years. And I had an out-of-body experience, basically. I was just over the moon. And I ended up connecting with so many amazing people, and two of which I want to call out, which are Adam Davis and RPG. They have been just absolutely by my side this entire journey from that moment until right at this very moment. And I am so grateful for them for really guiding me and educating me, because if it wasn't for Adam, I wouldn't be in the position I'm at in right now. So it's been really cool.
Those are two great humans for sure.
Yes.
You're from West Virginia. And a fun fact about me that I don't think a lot of people know is I lived in West Virginia growing up too.
What? Where from?
Yes. I was in the Panhandle, Hedgesville, Martinsburg area.
Okay. I was in the Northern Panhandle of Weirton and just above Wheeling, about 30 minutes outside of Pittsburgh. That is such a cool fact.
I lived there probably for 7 years growing up, and we lived on this really remote mountain. It was called Third Mountain. Technically, the town was Hedgesville, but we were in no town. There was our closest neighbors, like acres and acres away. Like that's their driveway at the end of the cul-de-sac, but you don't see them because you're tucked up in the hills there.
Yeah.
And I remember always being so fearful, and I look at it in a different way now that I know more about the supernatural and the weird and the paranormal.
Yeah.
I remember we had these big windows, and in our basement, the houses are kind of built into the hills a little bit up there. I remember always being so scared at night that somebody was looking in at me, and running upstairs and being so scared to get into my room and shut the door, hide under the covers. And I was really afraid. And I always had this fear like someone was watching me. And I've never felt like that anywhere else. It was strange.
Yeah, that's strange, because I always felt that same way too. Like there's something or someone always watching you. Always, no matter what. And it's really a creepy feeling that
it is.
You don't get in a lot of places.
Yeah, that's so true. And I never knew maybe much as a child, but I look at it a lot differently now.
Yeah, yeah. It's very different. And whenever I go back home, it's this feeling of I'm so happy to be there. It's just a calm, even though you still have that feeling like, I'm being watched. I know
it balances out.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it's truly, it's a beautiful place, but that Appalachian lore is very real.
Very real. Very, very real. And, you know, you take advantage of the beauty that's up there and the rolling hills and the mountains and the foliage, because you have all four seasons. And I always took advantage of it. Like, oh, it's just fall. It's just, you know, it's just this, it's just that. Now I live in Florida, Central Florida. And now I go back home, I'm like, oh, just to see that foliage or lightning bugs, the fireflies. I don't see that down here. I mean, you'd have to go out in the middle of Ocala National Forest to see a couple fireflies. At most, you see it just a couple.
It is the little things you take for granted. And going back up home, back up north, you have a new appreciation for it.
Very much. Very much. Love West Virginia. Yes, that cool, crisp air at night and having a bonfire and just in the middle of the woods and just being. That's a beautiful thing. I miss that.
In regards to Bigfoot, I know that you also have a little bit of a paranormal background too. Yeah. But while we're on the vein of Bigfoot, have you had any sightings?
I have had experiences, not a visual sighting, but an audio, several audio experiences. And one was here in Florida. In the Everglades, I was camping. It was the middle of the night. And I heard in the swamp, something, two beings talking back and forth. And it lasted a little over a minute. And this was very early on in my investigative world. And as we all know, with starting out, you start to hear something. And then after it's over, you're like, I should have recorded that. Why didn't I record that? Because you're so excited and overwhelmed. And then the other audio was also here in the Ocala National Forest. And it was near these Indian mounds. And it was on a patch of land that was owned by the government. And as soon as we reached, because there was a river there and there were a lot of alligators, and went down to the water's edge, and across the way was the government-owned land. And it was about 1:30 in the morning, and you hear a knock, two whoops, and about a minute later was a scream. And then it went dead, dead silent. It was almost like, there are humans here, watch out. And it was like almost warning the others, hey, we've got activity, watch out.
So I'm curious, how would you describe the scream?
It was a woman's scream, a high-pitched, as if a young woman was screaming. And that was an incredible, intense moment, because had I not really understood where I was and what the whoops were and what the wood knocks were, I would have thought there was a woman in trouble. And it was very human-like. And I knew there wasn't a woman across there, because that's a government-owned patch of land. And there's a ton of alligators stopping everybody from ever even, you can't even swim over or even walk over because there's so many alligators.
I think that's something too to highlight for anybody who might not be from Florida, is any water here in Florida is going to have at least one alligator at minimum. And that's like at the bare minimum. And yeah, alligator infested waters at night are no bueno. And were you near the bombing range, or was this
it
a different?
Was north of there. Okay. So I thought that it was very odd for there to be a government owned, like a postage stamp of land. And it's really no rhyme or reason, because I know where the bombing range is. And we were a couple miles north of there. And I'm like, this is just odd for that to be here. And there was nothing visual that you could see that was there. And it was all heavily wooded, and really, you didn't see a road. You didn't hear anything other than what we heard when we first got to the water's edge. And then that was it.
That reminds me of a similar encounter I had in the Panhandle. We were near water. We had arrived at a location and we knew other people were going to be coming down the road soon. So the guy who was in my group, his name's Rick Rellis, and he's been a guest on the show, and he talks a little bit about it in that episode, but he has this pop gun. And he was like, I'm going to go ahead and do this. So he does the pop gun, and I think maybe he does it three times. And then all of a sudden, almost instantaneously, we got back this blood curdling, and it sounded like a woman scream, but it was not a regular woman. It wasn't like me or you. It was this howl, and it sounded feminine to me, in my opinion. Maybe a female squatch. I don't know.
Yeah.
Then it set off the coyotes. Mm-hmm. I'm very familiar with how coyotes sound. It wasn't that. The rest of the night, we had some other paranormal stuff happen. So when you said female like scream, that just flew up a flag for me.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
It was so strange, because you're like, am I hearing this? And then you're right. A lot of things will set coyotes off. And even, you know, if you yell at them, it'll set them off.
That's so true. I've done that a time or two. You can get coyotes going.
Yeah, you can. And they'll just keep going. And then one will set off the other, and it's just like a chain reaction. So cool.
You had your two class Bs.
Yes.
Now, did the chatter down in the Everglades, did that sound like the samurai chatter that you hear people sometimes describe?
It was very odd. And it wasn't, it was like this sound of, I'm signaling you. It was more of a signal talk, and it was going back and forth and back and forth, and it was making the same exact sound, but it was on two different sides. And I checked all of the apps, all of the area. I talked to locals. I'm like, what makes that sound? They're like, there's nothing that makes that sound here. And I'm like, well, it had to be, by process of elimination, something that you don't know. And of course, we're in an area where there's a lot of skunk ape sightings. And this could be the only thing that it could be. So it was like almost like a high-pitched whoop with a who. at the end. And it was like warning, like, hey, there are people here. Because there wasn't just me camping. There were other people camping in that area. And it went on for about a minute. But also something that happened, which a lot of people say, you know, there's a connection with, you hear an owl out of nowhere, and then you hear this owl, and then that is what happened, is like the back and forth. So, and that owl didn't signal anything else. It just that one hoot, and then the signal back and forth. And it was almost like, all right, this is what's happening. There's people here. Don't go over there.
Yeah. I really like that theory. I always say that I think the owls are involved somehow.
Yeah.
Because you hear that either they're mimicking owls, or maybe owls are announcing their presence, like spirit guide or something, like they're working together.
Yeah, I have heard it before, and other people have said, yes, as soon as you hear that, I'm listening. And then when I witnessed it, I was like, oh, okay, now I get it. I get it now. Because that happened right after I heard the owl.
Yeah. It's interesting how, like you said, the nature kind of plays into it, whether it be maybe the squatches set off coyotes or owls, or they make an area go dead quiet. I think that it's so important to listen to everything that's happening out in the woods, because it's letting you know what's going on.
Absolutely. And I think you need, and I'm a firm believer in investigating, when you hear something and you're not sure what it is, a lot of people go straight to, oh, it's Bigfoot, it's Sasquatch, it's a skunk ape. You really need to talk to the locals if you're not familiar with that area. And I always ask, if I hear something that I'm not sure about, I always ask, what could it be? And to eliminate everything else and then make that educated guess where you're like, okay, that's the only thing it could be. Because I did have another experience in the Everglades, and I purposely did something, and I don't recommend this to everybody. I went camping by myself, and I had my bear spray, I had all my gear, and I positioned myself where I was absolutely alone. Now, way across the way, I mean, a good football field or two across the way, was another camper. So I'm laying there in the middle of the night, and I hear a loud tweet. I'm like, that's not normal. And then I'm laying there very still. And then with about 2 minutes later, large footsteps are right beside my tent. And then I hear what sounds like a small child, like a toddler trying to talk. And then it just disappeared. And I started asking around. I'm like, what could that be? And so, you know, I heard, that's the skunk ape. That's it. It came up to you. I'm like, okay, I need a little bit more information. And somebody said, well, we're not sure what it is. And so finally, I was able to ask a lady who is a biologist in that area who knows all of the local wildlife. They're like, she goes, that's a male panther in heat. I said, so really? And she's like, absolutely, 100% male panthers in heat chirp, make bird noises, and make these odd noises. Well, I work with a gentleman. He is the vice president of pharmacy operations, but he also runs a large cat refuge just south of Orlando. And I texted him. I said, here's my experience. Could this be a large Florida panther, like a male in heat? He goes, absolutely. He goes, my male panther does that all the time. He goes, you could walk up and he's chirping like a bird. I'm like, that is just odd. So when you hear something that you're not used to, always investigate. Investigate as far as you can to uncover every possible avenue. And then once you've exhausted that, then you can say, okay, it's something that's
I just want to say, you're so brave for camping out in the Everglades by yourself.
The swamp, I was on a piece of land that was just, you know, it was dry. I could walk 5 steps to the swamp, and it was right there. And then there were smaller ponds behind me with gators in it, but it was in October. And I knew that, you know, mating season was done. Nesting season was done. They're kind of like, you know, you're human, just stay away from me and I'll stay away from you. And really, that was it. That's all that happened. And I felt, you know, vulnerable and nervous, but I forced myself to be there to see what could I lure in. So I don't recommend that to everybody by no means, but I did have bear spray with me and a knife in the event something were to happen. And my phone was close by with a couple bars on it. So
I admire your bravery. I really do. But you're right. I think that's interesting. I like the idea of luring something to you. I like that with research as well. Putting yourself in their environment, I believe that they're very curious creatures. Doing something to kind of bring them to you to mm-hmm. pique their curiosity, I think that's genius.
Yeah, because I'm like, you know what? You've heard of campers, you know, one or two people out camping and they have a sighting. I'm like, let's redo that. I'm going to do that. And everywhere I go, I do something a little different each time. I could put out a dog toy, a squeaky dog toy, to see if it piques their curiosity. So that's something new.
Do you do a lot of solo camping?
No, I do not. I normally will camp when there's a group of people. This one time I decided I'm going to go ahead and do this as an experiment. I didn't mind it at all. It was very peaceful. I got to really be in my thoughts and my own mind and really decompress. And it was beautiful because you're alone, you're in nature, you're hearing all these beautiful sounds and the birds and seeing everything. And then it was just at night. I got creeped out a little bit. I'm not going to lie, but it was like one of the best things I've ever done.
Is there any projects that you're working on?
I am. So this weekend, I will be in Tennessee. And I'm so excited because not only is it the Gatlinburg Conference, I'll be working that conference and greeting people. I'm working with Gather Up Events on Friday and Saturday. But on Sunday, I'm going to go out. I work with Relic Films. The producer and owner of Relic Films is Greg Ogles. He was able to work with another group to get us into Cades Cove at night. And so we're going to be doing research and filming in the Smoky Mountains in Cades Cove. So on Sunday, which I am over the moon about, we're going to be just... When we go in and do these things, we keep an open mind. Whatever that we see, we're not out there looking just for one thing. It's whatever we come across. And we keep an open mind about whether it be paranormal, orbs, Bigfoot, feral people, dog man, various other things that could be out there. We're open to. I am so excited, which is one of the wonderful things about volunteering for Gather Up Events is, you know, you get to volunteer and you get to talk to a lot of the speakers and really interact with them a lot more and network with them. That's a phenomenal experience for me. But that's how you build that relationship, and it's the Bigfoot family.
I know some Tennessee researchers who have told me about some sightings and things that have occurred in there. So I wish you luck. I know you mentioned a few things. You mentioned Dogman, and that's also something that is very prevalent in that eastern Tennessee area near Gatlinburg.
Absolutely. And I am excited because I have not really had the level of investigative experience with Dogman that I have with Bigfoot and paranormal. So I'm excited to get into that.
Well, thing number one you have to put in your pack is silver bullets.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I was trying to get through that with a straight face.
Wolf dog, man, you know.
Right. And you know, there's actually a difference between the two.
I've heard.
Yeah.
I've heard.
And okay. So for the listeners who maybe don't know, werewolf is someone who is a human, but can transform into that werewolf form. Whereas a dog man is a hybrid creature of some sort that stays in that dog man space all the time, doesn't transfer back into human. It has that head and upper body, even the legs of a dog, bipedal dog man creature.
Well, we are going in November. We're going to be filming another documentary and we're going to go to Land Between the Lakes. And so we are going to be rustic camping in the area where dog man has been sighted multiple times. So I'm excited. We're going to spend a week there.
Wow. That's awesome. That's another place on my bucket list trips.
I'm excited. I'm so excited. I'm over the moon on that one because that's a place I've wanted to go. And now with this opportunity, we're going to film there.
So this will be your first time in the area.
Yeah. Yeah.
I look forward to hearing about that. So Absolutely. All of that will be a part of Relic Films.
Yes, yes. So I filmed with Relic in March, and that The Vanished is the documentary, and that's going to be coming out in January of 2026. And then we're going to be filming in November, and that should come out the end of 2026. So it takes about a year to process and edit and do the interviews on the side. Cause I mean, it's a process.
It really is. How much work and behind the scenes stuff that really goes into it.
Very much so. There's a lot of work, a lot of behind the scenes, a lot of, you know, working on B-reel and also with the sounds and the music and the highlights and there's a lot.
You mentioned it earlier that you do have a background in the paranormal. When we were talking, you said that you've had some shadow people experiences, some encounters with ghosts.
Yes.
Do you mind telling me a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So it started when I was 3, and I would see my great grandmother who had passed away far before I was born. And throughout my growing up, I always felt spirits around me and things would happen. And it wasn't that I was able to see them all the time, but I was able to feel them. I was able to see like a shadow passing by in my peripheral. But when I was 13 years old, I was going through a really difficult time in my life. And I was asleep in bed and I was woken up in the middle of the night and my great grandmother was standing at the foot of my bed. And she's standing there glowing, just like little bun on the top of her head, her little house dress that she wore, just cutie patootie little thing. And she's standing there with a little smile on her face, just like, it's okay. You know, I've got you. We're watching over you, which was, it made me feel at peace. And I was like, I'm like looking like, did I just see that right? And then she just faded away. And as the years progressed, I always had this feeling of presence in the home. When I moved away, I stayed with my uncle and aunt to go to do schooling. And I would be woken up in the middle of the night with somebody calling my name and nobody was there. And it just kept progressing. So I just kind of got used to it. And the more I learned about spirits and people passing on, the more I learned that they are energy, that they are still with us, that they are watching over us. And a lot of times there could be a spirit just passing through. And so when my kids were born, they started seeing spirits as well. So I taught them, because I was never taught this, you know, there are spirits, it's okay. You know, they're watching over us. They're making sure that you're okay. You know, some spirits you may not know that are just passing by that think that, you know, it's an interesting house or, you know, we like this or it's a fun environment. They want to hang out for a little bit and then they're going to move on and that's okay. You know, they respect us. We respect them. Well, when my son was in grade school, he said, Mom, there's a dark man that watches me and he has a hat on. And I'm like, okay, what is it? He's like, he just watches me and then he just disappears. Now, I don't know for our viewers, but Hat Man is very much prevalent in the paranormal realm. And this is not a good spirit to have around. They prey and they're a dark entity. And so the one thing I have learned about the dark entities is that you need to stand your ground. You have control. That is your home, your space, your child, your family. And you set the ground rules. You set the boundaries. So I saged. I told Dark Man, or I called him Dark Man because that's what my son called him, but he was actually Hat Man. I said, you are not welcome here. You are not to come near my son. Don't do it again. Well, months passed, nothing. And then he showed up again. And so kept cleansing the area. I'm like, I just need to cleanse the area a bit more, you know, bring some more positive energy in. And periodically he would show up and then I'd cleanse it again. Well, one day my son came home. He goes, Mom, Dark Man followed me to school and he was in the hallway of my school and he was watching me. Well, my kids that weekend went to their dad's house to go visit. I said, you go down there. I'll take care of Dark Man. I went in and I had the biggest come to Jesus meeting. And I said to him, I said, you ever show yourself to my children, I will personally drag you to the depths of hell and stay with you there for eternity. And he never showed up again. But you can't show fear. You can't. And I told him, I said, you don't fear him. You stand your ground. You tell him no. Oh, he had an experience, but 2015 comes around. I had married my second husband, who I had known since, God, 1986. We were in middle school and high school together. And so we got married, moved to a house in Florida, and he was coming with all of his boxes, and I was coming with all of my boxes, and we had a three-car garage full of boxes. So one weekend, we said, we're going to go through every box, just grab one, we'll unpack it, no matter whose it is. And it was an all-day event. I unpacked a box, which was his, not a big deal, and I opened up, there was another box in there, and I opened it up, and I took it out. It was like this, like a plastic bracelet kind of, and I thought one of his kids made this. I was like, oh. I'm like, look how cute this is. I said, which, you know, he had three kids. I said, which one made this for you? He goes, oh no. He goes, that's a souvenir off my first kill. He was in the Army for 20 years and he was a retired Green Beret. He saw a lot of combat and a lot of battle. And he goes, it's tradition to take a souvenir off your first kill and keep it. I said, you brought this into my house? I said, did you have a ceremony? Did you sage it? Is there an entity attached to it? I'm like, what is going on? He goes, no, you're crazy. Nothing. I'm like, I don't want this in my house. He goes, I'll box it up and I'll put it away. I said, I don't want this in my house. I said, bury it, have a ceremony, do whatever. No, you're crazy. I'm like, so I let it go. We unpack boxes, put everything away. Well, about 3 months later, I saw a shadow figure peeking around the corner. And I told him, I said, there's a shadow figure. He's like, oh, you're seeing things. Da, 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 da. Well, one day I'm taking a shower, I'm getting ready to take a shower, and I hear a knock on the door to the laundry room. And I'm like, that nobody can get in there. So I'm thinking to myself, maybe I left my garage door open. Maybe my neighbor's knocking on the door, just saying, hey, your garage door's open. Nothing was there. And my garage door was closed. So this went on with a little shadow figure, not big, little, peeking around the corner. And it happened right in the house near the opening to the garage. So the laundry room, the master bedroom, the master bathroom, master closet, including our guest bathroom, were all right there. Well, this shadow, I called him Shadow Dude, kept peeking around the corner. So I had a meeting with him. I saged. I said, listen, I don't want you here. I know you don't want to be here. I think I know why you're here. So here are the rules of the house. And I had a list of rules. And I said, you are to follow these rules. We can live harmoniously together. Even though I don't want you here and you don't want to be here, we can live together. But we have to show each other respect. Everything was fine for quite a few years. He would peek around. I would acknowledge him. He would be fine. It was just like these little things. He would just peek and fine, peek and fine. Well, the marriage started to go bad. Shadow Dude started showing himself a whole lot more. I woke up in the middle of the night. Shadow Dude was standing over me, watching me sleep. I screamed like, that can't happen. So the next day I told Shadow, I'm like, that you just crossed the line. You broke a rule. Don't ever do it again. Well, as I noticed, Shadow Dude started to grow a little bit more. Like he got a little bit bigger because of the turmoil that was happening in the house. He was feeding off that negative energy. And so when the marriage went really, really bad, I moved upstairs and my soon-to-be ex was still downstairs in the master bedroom. I moved upstairs. Well, nothing happened upstairs ever. Everything, the air was light, everything, the mood was good, everything. The moment you went downstairs in that area, you felt the air just being heavy. And like there was like a negative presence there. And so one night, my son was downstairs. He went into the guest bathroom to use the bathroom. He walked out, turned out the light, and it was very dark because it was night. And something from the master bedroom growled at him. And he came upstairs. He goes, Mom, something growled at me from the master bedroom. I'm like, here we go. He crossed the line again. So went in, had the biggest come to Jesus, very similar to Hat Man. I was like, I will drag you to the depths of hell for eternity if you ever go near my children or me again. So fast forward a couple months. It's now Thanksgiving. My kids and I went away on a cruise. We were gone for a week. We get back during the day, come inside. The kids go inside the house first. I come in with a couple things. I walk in, I look in the master bedroom and Shadow Dude is standing there looking at me. And I said, is this how we're going to start this off? And he ran. He just disappeared. And then right after that, my ex took all of his belongings, put it in storage and never saw Shadow Dude again. And then he moved out and then it was gone. That air lifted, no more negative energy. Nothing came with us to this, to our townhome that we're in now. And everything has been good.
Wow. So it was definitely something connected to either, well, probably to him and that bracelet.
Yeah. Because I mean, you can imagine, here's someone fighting for their country who's clearly not educated. They are like living off the land, brutally killed in combat, and having something that meant something to them ripped off their body and taken by what they perceived as the enemy and held as a souvenir. So I'm sure that there was an emotional attachment there that was created from being brutally killed. And so I can just imagine, I mean, regardless, I mean, I fully support our military and everything that they do. And I thank them for all of their service and sacrifice. And this entity that was with him, it was just, it was so bad. So I tell people, you know, have a ceremony. Don't keep it in your house, whatever it is. If you want to have a souvenir, make sure that you have that cleansed completely.
Situations like that are haunted locations or places of high strangeness, taking something and bringing it into your home. You don't know what other entities could potentially be attached to it. And you hear that a lot sometimes with antiques too. I had someone who came on and their house was fine and they were an antique dealer and then started having shadow people after bringing in, you know, some of these antiques and now they have a company.
Yeah. I mean, there's attachments and I mean, they're like, that meant something. You know, that was valuable to me. And now it's here and I want to stay with it for whatever reason, unknown reason. But it's just, it was a very, I've had decades of experience with the paranormal. And when we were filming in the Smoky Mountains for The Vanished, we had a ton of paranormal activity happening during the day and at night. Disembodied voices, orbs. We had a lot of we were doing a night investigation and it was, I mean, dead of night and we're spaced out enough. I mean, we know each other's there. We could kind of see each other's outline, but I thought my producer was right behind me talking to me, like right behind my head, and I couldn't hear what he was saying. And I turned around and nobody was there and he was down the way. And there is just, you know, different things that happen and you just have to respect their space and, you know, make sure that you're completely cleansed and going in there with a good frame of mind. And so we have investigated abandoned churches and have received responses because I did a recording and I was asking questions, you know, and I got this feeling like, I think they're upset about something. And I had this feeling, this is what they're upset about. And when I asked that question, I got a response. I was like, that's what they're upset about. And there's always a reason. There's always a reason.
When you guys are going out, you kind of go out with an open mind. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a Bigfoot, you know, activity, or there could be this other stuff. And you go where it takes you because so often it seems like these worlds overlap with each other, or maybe they're part of the same world. And we're just experiencing multiple different phenomena at the same time. But it is interesting how the paranormal tends to bleed in with Bigfoot.
Very much so. The orbs that we saw, I mean, we were seeing them every time we went out, which is very unusual. You don't see orbs all the time. And we were. And we were going in spaces and being very respectful. And before we went in, we had this frame of mind, either we were meditating or praying or just being very respectful, like we're coming in very respectfully. We respect your space. Whether they felt that it was safe, they wanted to see us. We were doing experiments like, you know, what would bring them in closer, and positive energy is what brought them in closer. Laughing, you know, dancing, singing, it brought them in. So it was really a cool kind of experiment that we did.
Could you describe the orbs? What color and how big were they?
So they weren't huge. Like we saw one large one when we were out investigating, but the rest of them were pretty small and they had different colors. So the temperature, just to let you know, this was in March in the Smoky Mountains. It would get down to like 30, 40 degrees. So there were no bugs flying around. There were no fireflies. There was no nothing. We would go out and we would see a little red orb, an orange orb. They would be green and blue and sometimes silver. And they would just, and then they would back off and then they show up somewhere else. So I had an orb. Like, I couldn't figure out what it was at first. And I'm like, what is that? And it was just like, just going very low to the ground. And then it just danced off. And then all of a sudden it appeared right in front of me. And it would back up and go around like a tree and look again, like almost like there was an intelligent presence to it, or an intelligent presence controlling it, to kind of get a vibe of who I was and kind of like seeing if I was okay. And it was such a great experience.
Now, do you have any theories on maybe what they were or what they were connected to?
So the area in which we were in, that specific area, was very well known for having reports of portals. And we did not see a portal, but we had a lot of activity in those areas, a lot of activity. And the orbs would show up in these areas of known activity. So we would arrive there, be in our presence, and we weren't being quiet. We didn't go in camo. We didn't come in aggressive. We're coming in and we're having conversations and we're laughing and we're telling jokes and, you know, we're just kind of hanging out, being ourselves and not showing what's around us as a threat, that we were a threat. And then that's when we would start to get the activity.
That's really cool. I think that goes back to our previous point of doing something to draw them out, to lure them in, whatever that or they may be. You're piquing something's curiosity. I'm a big proponent. I like to sometimes sing. I haven't danced yet. I'm pretty sure my research partner would look at me like I was crazy if I started dancing, but I'm going to have to just tell her to get over it.
Marion might be okay with it.
She might look at me like I'm crazy first and go, she might. I guess that's just Brooke.
And you know what? She might join in. You just don't know.
Yeah. You know, we could be like the proposal out there with Sandra Bullock and
yes,
Betty White.
To like the around. Window. Yeah. And out there dancing around and Betty White's going, what's happening?
Yeah. Yeah. And she's in her shaman kind of vibe.
Yes.
You know what? I love
yeah.
that. I might have to
yeah.
do that next time we're out.
And it was funny because every time, you know, I was out there, I would sing to myself in my head. And it was always the same song that came to my head. You Are My Sunshine. And it's a happy, upbeat song that kept me in a happy, upbeat mood. And I think I have a theory that it helped. I don't know if it did or not.
Well, I think intention is a big thing in this mm-hmm. field, is what your intentions are. And some of the best researchers I've been out with are the ones, in my opinion, who go out and I love it. They just start talking to the woods. They're like,
yeah.
hey, we're here. We just want to learn from you. We're here to mm-hmm. observe you. If you'd like to interact with us, we're okay with that. They kind of start having this dialogue and setting that positive intention. I really think it is so important, especially when you're out doing this.
100%.
We're not here to hurt you or harm you or anything like that. So I think intention is big.
Absolutely. I absolutely believe in that because, you know, I have heard reports of people going into the woods in camo, you know, stalking, and then you get an aggressive response.
Right.
And other people go in dressed normal with positive intentions and they get a peek around, you know, a tree or, you know, it walking through going, okay, what is that? And just looking past and like, you're not a threat to me. And I think as a woman, I'm of course biased because I'm a woman. I think us doing the investigation, these cryptids, whether it be Bigfoot or Dogman, they don't look at us as a threat where they would to a man, like that's a man is far bigger. They're, you know, and so I think a woman can go in and going, okay, I'm okay. You have that nurturing kind of attitude and, you know, it's okay, you know, and, you know, how many animals have we talked to in the woods? Like, oh, aren't you cute? And who's got your nose? And, you know, stuff like that. And of course, men don't do that.
No. So. And we're giving off a completely different pheromone. I mean,
yes.
even when it just comes down to our chemical makeup, we don't have as much, most women don't have as much testosterone as a male would naturally be producing. Our bodies go through 28-day cycles, whereas a man, they go through a 24-hour cycle when it comes to cortisol and hormones and all of that.
I 100% believe that. 100%.
I could see that. I could totally see that, something feeling more comfortable or more curious.
Yeah. And, you know, one of my many goals in getting into Bigfoot and cryptids and paranormal is to encourage other women. You know, I'm 52 years old and I want to encourage other women who are, you know, empty nesters, kids are older, you lose that sense of like, who am I? To get out there. You know, it's okay to go in the woods and explore. Go on a hike. You know, if you're interested in Bigfoot or something else, get out there and take that leap of faith, because it took a lot for me to go to that first Bigfoot conference because I was alone. Nobody went with me. I knew absolutely no one. And I went in with the intention that I'm going to talk to as many people as I can to learn as much as I can. And I walked in the door to the VIP line and I started talking. Hi, you know, immediately made friends. And still to this day, I'm friends with a lot of those folks. And that was phenomenal. And I think the Bigfoot community has this amazing aura, this energy where you get into it and you just become family. And it's like this camaraderie and you support one another and you cheer one another on. And, you know, I want every single person out there who's investigating to win, to see something, to learn more. I'm everybody's biggest cheerleader. Go. I'm going to be your biggest supporter. So I love the fact that, you know, we're able to support one another. And right before the West Virginia conference, I got contacted by two friends, don't know each other, completely separate. Both of them contacted me going, Nat, you have inspired me. I'm going to go do this because I saw what you're doing. And if you can do it, I can do it. And then my other friend up north going, you know what? You've inspired me. I'm going to get out there more. I'm going to go and investigate more. I'm going to do more research and I'm going to attend more conferences and I'm like, that is so amazing that we're getting more people out of their comfort zone to step forward and to have an experience and whatever it is, whether it be paranormal, cryptids, Bigfoot, or even something completely different. And I was at the Bigfoot festival in West Virginia. And I'm standing there and I was helping RPG with his booth and he had his booth along with Squatch Juice. So we were all there and I was manning the booth alone this one time and a woman in her 50s walked up to me and said, I just want to thank you for showing other women what we all can do. And I was like, that meant so much to me just because even though for me, I love doing what I'm doing and getting out there and exploring and just being in nature alone and to have this experience and to investigate. But to be a cheerleader for others, that's one of the biggest rewards.
The Bigfoot community is unlike anything else. It's about finding those people. And it's really encouraging because we're all exploring different avenues with Bigfoot, with the paranormal, with the supernatural, and it's happening out there. The world is weird. You know, what do they say? Wild, wonderful West Virginia.
Yes.
That's like wild, wonderful, and weird is really the world that we live in. There is enough for everybody out there. We're involved in such a cool community where we get to do things like this and we get to explore our passions, have people cheer us on and encourage. Mm-hmm. It's like we're in this race together, all inching towards the same goal.
Right. To find out what this is, whatever this is, and to have a better understanding, because there's still that unknown.
Yeah, and having conversations like this. So you go out and do your research, I go out and do mine, and then we get to talk. And I'm like, hey, what did that scream sound like? And you're like, well, it sounded very female-like. So now we're putting together a data point and we're bridging a gap and going, ooh, okay, so I had a similar experience, and we're documenting it, we're sharing it with each other, and we're finding these commonalities that will say, okay, well, we know it does this, we know it's around that, coming up with those solid data points for the work that we're doing. And I love that when you get to do this, it is very freeing. It's unlike anything. And I think it's safe to say that you almost become obsessed and you get kind of obsessive with it. I think that's one thing about this community, all searching for the same thing. We're not going to stop.
No, and we're not going to stop. And we all do it. And we have our different methods. We have our different views. And to your point, there's no right or wrong way. You just try to do whatever you think is best. And if it works, we share it. Like, this is what worked for me. Okay, now the next person does it in a different area. And then see, if we could get the same results, now we've got we're starting a pattern, which is amazing. And then we can all document it together and we're on the same path. And you know, since I started this journey, we talked before that I'm a program manager. I'm also working in the corporate offices And I work with executives all the time. And I'm on calls every week with executives. And I start talking about this stuff. And, you know, when we have a little downtime, I'm like, yeah, this is what I did. I did this investigation, or I did this, and I went to this conference. And these high-level executives who are, you know, vice presidents, presidents, CEOs, big wigs, and they're like, tell us more. Well, where do you go? Well, tell me, now you've got me intrigued. What's this? What's that? And I'm like, you know, sending them links, and I'm sending them books, and I'm sending, you know, here's the conference that's closest to you. And now all these folks, so my boss who oversees everything, his wife is like, you got to take me out squatching. You've got to take me out. So, you know, a lot of times people are afraid to talk about it, but for me, I talk about it. I don't care who you are. I'll talk. And so sometimes I get strange looks. Sometimes I'm told that I'm crazy, and that's okay. That's all right. I'm cool with that. But then most of the time, they're like, really? You do this? Oh my gosh. You know what? Are you going to be on that podcast? Oh, here it is. Oh, let me learn more about this and learn more about that. So now you're spreading knowledge. So I don't think people should be afraid to talk about this. I think the more you talk about it, the more educated the folks around you become, and the more widespread this phenomenon becomes, going, okay, there's more to this. Let me look into it further.
And everyone in the office will know that you have the coolest hobby ever.
Yes.
Because what we get to do is the coolest thing. I know I'm biased, but I think that we have the coolest hobby that you could ever dream of having.
You know, we do. And again, we are biased, but we do have the coolest hobby, because how many people out there would say to you, I would never do that. I would be too terrified to do that.
Well, and to your point, so when I did my first primitive camp, I had never gone camping as an adult. Going on my first primitive camping trip last year, I did it. I survived, and yeah. I really liked it, and I enjoyed it. I fell instantly in love. And so then ever since then, I can't tell you how many camping trips I've gone on since then. It was one of those things, though, where if I said, I can't do this, I won't be able to do it. But I went in with, I can. So many people limit themselves by saying, oh, I could never do that. I can't do this. It's like, yes, you can. Your biggest hurdle, it's not the heat. It's not Bigfoot. It's not the night itself. It's not any of that. It's you. And once you get over your own fear of just stepping out of your comfort zone, incredible things can happen. And I think that growth can be uncomfortable, but so is staying the same. And when we're uncomfortable, we grow and we learn. And then I was able to prove to myself, similarly to you, hey, I can do this. And if I can do this, what else can I do? And now I've discovered something that I love, and I would have never done that had I not stepped out of my comfort zone. Because a lot of people hear, oh my God, you're going backpack primitive camping in Florida. Oh, it's hot. It's this, it's that. And it's like, yeah, okay. All those things are true.
Right. We limit ourselves. We set up our own boundaries. And if you go in with, to your point, I can do this. And once you do it, you are so empowered. You're like, I can do this. What was stopping me before? Me. I was stopping myself. So now it's like, I can go further. I know I can. And then you climb to the top of one of these mountains and you're looking out over just vast forest. And you're like, I did that. Okay, what else can I do? And you just keep going and keep going. And now you're like in this groove, like, I'm going to keep doing something every single time that I have the opportunity. And I'm going to go further and further and further. And I just made a 3-year goal list and a 5-year goal list. So I have a whole list of goals that I want to accomplish in 3 years. And then after that, I've got my 5-year list. And it's like, I'm going to reach every one of those goals in 3 years. And then in 5 years, I'm going to reach every one of those goals. And after 5 years, I will be traveling the United States in my van, my travel van, and I'll have a tiny home on some acreage in the mountains. And I'm just going to be like, this is my life now.
Your comfort zone will kill you. Your story is just so inspiring. I love when you get to leave a conversation and you feel just hyped up and inspired. I feel like that's what you've done here today. I love talking with other people who have that energy about them, that they're just motivated. And I love that. I love that you're setting goals and crushing them. And I think that's incredible. I look forward to watching you on your journey and hopefully getting to join you along the way and collaborate some more on some things. And you're going to crush it. I already know it.
Thank you so much. And I would love to collaborate with you sometime, anytime. Just let me know. And there's a lot of stuff coming up that we can do. And it's going to be so interesting what comes in the future. And with your career as well, I mean, what you're going to be able to do is going to far surpass me. So
I'm excited
to see that. Absolutely. And I had so much fun here. I appreciate you so much. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. Natalie's honesty and insight and passion for uncovering the truth, it's always empowering to connect with other women doing this kind of work, especially in the spaces that we're in. Keep your eyes out for the Vanished Relic Films new documentary. It's coming soon, and I have a feeling that it is going to make some waves. If you like this episode, be sure to follow Dark Florida on Instagram at Dark Florida Podcast. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And hey, if you have a story you'd like to share or want to be a guest on the show, shoot me an email at darkfloridapodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, stay curious and stay strange.